Hey folks, you are most welcome to the show once again, and today we have a neuroscientist who is going to be sharing more about the mindset self and rewiring your brain and a couple of more topics, so it's better listen to her. Dear guests, you are most welcome on the show. My audience is super excited to know more about you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So my name is Pooja Agarwal. I'm a neurologist or brain doctor, and I'm also a neuroscientist in addition to being an executive coach. And so I help people realize that you can actually rewire your brain and have a mindset that actually serves you in life. So naturally, our brains, we tend to dwell in the negative or think about things negatively. Our brains want to keep us in our comfort zone, and we don't like discomfort. Our brain doesn't like that. So they do everything to protect us, keep us in our comfort zone, and so we don't try new things. And so when we focus on our mindset and we really look at what we're thinking, and this takes some personal reflection, self-reflection. So it's really diving down into, you know, if you want to take on a new challenge or you have a new goal and you're not working towards that goal, well, why is that? What is going on? And again, the reason is our brains want to keep us in our comfort zone. We don't want to try new things. So really, when you look at what you're thinking, if you're thinking that it's too hard to do that, and that's the thought that's pervasive, that you keep on thinking, and then you're going to feel anxious about taking on a new challenge or working towards that goal, because sometimes you're setting yourself up for failure. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where you think you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it then. And that's what happens. So, you know, really when you change that thought to it's too hard or I can't do it, I can do it, or it will happen, I'm going to make it happen. What happens is over time, once you actually make that deliberate effort where you're thinking, I will do this, I'm going to make this happen no matter what, you're actually changing the pathways in your brain. So it's through a phenomenon called neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. When you are changing those thoughts, and it's not just doing it once, you have to make it a daily habit. You have to be deliberate and intentional about your thinking and your thoughts. Then over time, those positive pathways take over. And that's what happens, is it's a power of habit. When we think positively over time, our brains will actually rewire themselves through neuroplasticity. And then those positive thinking habits and those other habits will become more subconscious and will be something that are more natural to you. So it's really that mindset and thinking in a different way. And, you know, coaching really helped me to realize that I am in control of what I'm thinking. You know, our brains can be our own worst enemy, our minds. We're so negative about ourselves. We critique ourselves. But when we actually have self-compassion and have that mindset shift, is really when we can accomplish a lot of different things. So let me tell you, for example, for myself, you know, I'm a physician, you know, I'm a researcher, research the brain, but it wasn't until I experienced coaching that I really became more self-aware in terms of what I was thinking and how that was really affecting my life. You know, I used to, before taking on a new challenge or doing something, I used to think, this is too difficult. I just can't do this. And, you know, from being a doctor, I always had a set pathway. And then finally with coaching, I realized I can do anything I want. So, I mean, recently I was on a Times Square billboard about my business coaching. That's something I never would have imagined before. I've been in Forbes magazine now. I had an article in Forbes. And again, it's really that power of thought. It is so important that we become more self-aware of our thoughts and what we're thinking, because really your life can change. You can have so much more of what you actually want in life and let go of that fear and of taking on new challenges.
All right. So that one topic, you know, struck in my mind that you mentioned that your subconscious mind, like your brain, can be your, you know, best friend or your worst enemy as well, right? So people, like we sometimes understand, okay, this is what exactly true that we are saying, but you know, sometimes it goes off the mind and we get into the same zone of, you know, not understanding what we have understood about the mindset, right? Can you throw some light more into it, you know, about the mindset self, like how is your brain becoming more enemy of yours, and what is the time that you realize that it is becoming the friend of yours?
Okay, so we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day in our brain, okay? And we're not aware of what we're thinking. A lot of these are subconscious, And then these are subconscious thoughts. And then we may have emotions or feelings attached to those thoughts. And then oftentimes when we have these certain thoughts, we react without actually being aware of what we're thinking. Okay. So when you're more deliberate, and when you're actually more intentional and you bring those thoughts to the forefront, your brain, so it's part of the brain, so the frontal brain, is actually becoming more aware of what you're thinking. And then normally, what our brains are trained to do, we have a part of the brain called the amygdala, which is our feeling center. It's part of our limbic system, or, you know, a lot of times it's called our pleasure center. So we boost happiness by boosting dopamine in our brain and activating the amygdala and other parts of the limbic system. So what happens is when you are actually changing these thoughts over time, they become more ingrained into that amygdala or that feeling center and that limbic center. And then it boosts happiness and joy. And then also then it comes to our frontal lobe, which is part of the brain that controls our executive function, how we make decisions and how we think. So all of that over time really changes those pathways in the brain, or those parts of the brain, the amygdala, the limbic system, and the frontal lobe, to then make those thoughts more on the forefront. We're more self-aware. When we're more self-aware, we are more deliberate. We are more intentional. So then that's how that pathway, those pathways change, and those parts of the brain change, and you can actually make your brain a nice place to be. It can be your best friend. You can have positive thoughts. You know, there's a book that I really like. It's called The Gap or the Gain, The High Achiever's Guide to Success. It's by Dan Sullivan. It's a great book where they talk about if you focus on the gap or where you want to be and you're not there, you are not as successful. But when you focus on the gain, where you have come from, like in the last year, in the last month, in the last few years, when you focus on that, those positive changes, and you have gratitude for that, those people tend to be more successful. And it comes back to the mindset, and it comes back to the way that we are thinking. The more negative you are, the more you ruminate about things. And then the more you don't actually put in action to reach your goals, versus people who focus on what they have, they focus on how far they've come along, they tend to have more success. Their brain tells them they can do anything. They have a mindset shift. They have that mindset to go after and get what they want.
All right. So paying the gratitude is something that helps us to go further, right? So there is a topic, you know, that people are also nowadays searching more about it, like how to rewire your brain. Like, let's say they have reached to a certain point and now they feel like where to go, and they feel like reinventing themselves. So in order to get that done, so we all got to rewire our brain. So how to do that?
Do you mean in order to reach a goal, or to do what exactly?
It's like, let's say the person has reached to a certain point. Let's say, as you mentioned, you know, the place that we have, you know, been through, now we have reached at a certain place, yeah, but still we have to go, right? But we feel like we are lost at that point, right? At that step.
Okay.
So how to rewire the brain at that certain point of time?
Okay, so it's first of all coming back to focusing, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? Writing down that goal. When you see and visualize a goal or something that you want to do or become, visualizing it really helps your brain. You're seeing it, you're writing it down, you're putting pen to paper. That's what you should do. Start thinking about and focusing, what are your goals? Where do you want to be if you're feeling lost? You know, I think that everybody deserves a coach. I think coaches provide accountability. They help you with, you know, mindset shifts. They help you to really change your life. It helped me, and I help my clients. But I think that really focusing and writing down where you want to be, okay, that really helps, in visualizing where you want to be and visualizing how you'll feel at that moment, and then bringing that emotion to now. So the one thing I do really want to mention is that happiness is not something that you are always going to have. That's just a part of life. You know, we need to have some of the negative, we need to have some of the positive. And so, yes, there will be times where you feel lost. And yes, there will be times where you feel angry, anxious, overwhelmed. But again, it's really realizing that you don't have to chase that happiness, that you can have it in certain moments. It's something that can change. And it's really, you're not going to know the positive emotions if you don't know the negative emotions. So I kind of say it's like a 50-50. So when I got certified for life, at the Life Coach School, that's kind of like their mantra, is that, you know, there are going to be negative and positive emotions, to realizing that there are going to be moments in life where you're overwhelmed and lost, but it's coming back and focusing on where do you want to be, visualizing yourself. So then when you visualize yourself there, your brain becomes more in tune with your goals, and then writing it down. And every day, I recommend journaling, okay? So often, like I mentioned earlier, we're not aware of what we're thinking, or we're feeling lost, but we don't know how to articulate it. But when you're actually writing it down in a journal and writing down how you're feeling, your thoughts, your emotions, that can really help to reflect on where you're at. And then what I recommend is journaling on a daily basis for at least a month. And then at the end of each week, reflecting on where what you were thinking and then how it changed over the week. And then really being more deliberate about trying to reach your goal. Writing down what actions do you need to take? What do you need to do to reach your goals if you're feeling lost? So that is something that's really important. Focusing and honing on, you know, what is not going well, what is going well, and where do you need to be? What do you need to do to reach your goal?
All right. So that's something helpful that one can do, is focusing on where they want to be. And visualization is also important. So as you mentioned, you know, you talked about the gratitude. So what is actually a science of the gratitude?
Okay. So when I say gratitude, it means practicing or saying out loud or journaling things that you are grateful for, what you already have. And the first thing I recommend what people do is they practice gratitude for themselves. You know, often when people practice gratitude, they think of other people, like family or kids or other things. But when you are first saying that you are grateful for yourself, or saying, I am grateful that I'm alive today and I am grateful for myself, that is the first thing to help boost your self-confidence, boost your mood, okay? So then practice that first. And then you can list other things you're thankful for, family, you know, anything else that you're grateful for that you actually have. So what happens is, with gratitude then, and again, this is something you don't just do once, it has to be a habit. Habits really matter with your brain, and that's the only way you're going to really rewire your brain. So practicing gratitude for on a daily basis for a month, or even journaling what you're thankful for, can also help. So what happens is, it's that same phenomenon. It's neuroplasticity. When you are practicing gratitude and saying things you are grateful for, what happens is it boosts your dopamine in your brain. It comes back to that limbic system I was talking about. So it helps boost the dopamine in your brain. The dopamine is a hormone that helps boost joy, happiness. So once you do this consistently, dopamine increases, and then you have better mood, better sleep. People who practice gratitude have been shown in research to have better sleep. They sleep longer, they have less anxiety, less depression. And then also people who practice gratitude have been shown to actually have better overall health, physical health, lower heart rate, lower blood pressure, and then better social connections or better relationships with family, friends, professionally. So gratitude is something that you could start today. You don't need any money for it. You don't need anything. Just start practicing gratitude. Being thankful for what you do can really help change your life.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's something, you know, the mind blowing, as you mentioned that you are alive today, you are grateful for, because a lot of people do also say that I am grateful for this particular thing, I'm grateful for this particular thing, but they forget to say that they are grateful for, because they are alive today, right? Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And we also discussed, you know, to understand one point over there, that a lot of us fail to say no to the other people, you know. Why did I bring this topic over here is because when we are rewiring our brain, we are tend to help a lot of people when they ask for the help. So we fail to say no. So how to set the boundaries and we learn to say to no?
So first of all, it's recognizing what are your values. So your boundaries are based upon your personal value system. What exactly are your values? And I'm going to say a lot of us don't actually know what our personal values are. We don't know what we're willing to tolerate, what we're willing to do. But it's only once you define what your personal values are, and I don't mean just thinking about it, I mean actually writing it down. What do you want to do in life? What do you not want to do? Let's say your friend comes and asks you to go to some event or asks you to help them with a project. You just don't have the time for it. You don't want to do it, but you say yes. So what happens is you lose out on that time, you can become resentful towards that person because you said yes, and then that can affect the relationship. So versus, let's say if you say no, yeah, your friend might be a little bit disappointed, but you are actually more aligned with your personal values, aligned with what you want to do. So it's really being okay with saying no. So what I recommend is people practice saying no. And I know it sounds odd, but really just stand in front of a mirror. Practice saying no, becoming okay with it. When you practice saying no frequently, again, you're going to become more okay with it. You're going to let go of that guilt and shame of saying no. And then over time, you're going to be okay with saying no. And you know what happens, actually, research has shown that people who say no and set boundaries are more respected by other people and they have more self-respect. Versus people who have unhealthy boundaries where they keep on saying yes to everybody or they're people-pleasing. They are afraid of rejection or they're afraid of what other people will think of them, have low self-confidence. So really setting boundaries and saying no will help build your self-confidence and you'll get more respect from others and you'll respect yourself more. So it's really, first of all, defining what your personal value system are things that you want to do and what you don't want to do, learning to practice saying no, and then over time, that guilt and shame of saying no will go away because then you've practiced so much. And then the other thing is not just saying no, but following through, not changing your boundaries to accommodate other people. So let's say if you have a boss that keeps on asking you to work on weekends or late nights, then what happens is you need to set that boundary and say, no, I'm going to leave at this time, which is a part of what the work day is, and I cannot help you, unfortunately, work on the weekends, and you know that's family time. However, I'd be willing to help you, you know, during the work day, I can give help with this project, and giving like an alternative. But then not just saying it, but then following through. That means not answering your phone call at night from your boss, not working on weekends, and not actually doing it. Because if you change your boundaries or are flexible, people will continue to ask you to do things. So it's being steadfast in your boundaries, not changing them for other people, and then that builds that self-respect.
Exactly. So that's the point. Like, when you keep on saying yes to people, they keep on understanding, okay, you are somebody who is always available at that point of time, right? So that's a quick hack to understand that try avoiding over the period of time. The people would, you know, not walk up, say, asking for the same thing to you over and again, right?
True. And I think a lot of people are afraid, if they're working for somebody that maybe they'll be let go, or maybe if that they say no, then somebody won't like them. But, you know, you're not really doing what you want to do. And really knowing what you want to do, what your value system are, and what your boundaries are, and what you will tolerate and what you won't, is really important to respect who you are.
Exactly. So, because a lot of people are afraid of it, right? So that's a quick hack one can follow over here, right? So far, you know, we have covered regarding the mindset self and rewiring the brain, and also understanding the science of gratitude, and also setting the boundaries to say no, right? So thank you so much for being over here, inspiring the audience. At the end, or last not but the least, I really would like to ask a question, like what the tip that you would like to give the audience who is listening to us over here right now regarding, you know, how they can rewire their brain and mindset shift. How is that important? How they can do it?
Okay. So first of all, practice affirmations. And when I say affirmations, I mean, you know, things that build your self-confidence. You know, I am grateful for myself. I can do anything I put my mind to. Those things can really help you build your self-confidence and really help you rewire the brain and have that mindset shift to take on new challenges or to accomplish your goals. So that's one thing. Two, for the mindset shift, is writing down what your goal is or what your challenge is or whatever you want to do. When you write it down, you look at it every day, again, you're more inclined to feel excited about it because you're visualizing it, you're seeing it written out, and then you're more likely to put in action. So all of that also helps with rewiring your brain. And then the last thing I'd recommend is gratitude. Practicing that gratitude really helps you, because then you're happy with what you have instead of what you don't have. When you focus on what you don't have, you're not as likely to put an action towards that goal or have that mindset. So it's practicing gratitude, writing down your goal or whatever it is you want to do, and then practicing those affirmations.
All right. Thank you so much, you know, for the valuable tip that you have given to the audience over here. So I really would like to thank to the audience as well who have been listening to us over and again. And, do you have any of the programs of yours, like any way that people can connect with you?
Yeah, so you can actually go to my website. It's www.z, as in zebra, ENFULBRAIN.com. So zenfulbrain.com. They can. I do 6 to 12 week coaching programs. And right now I have a 90 minutes of power intensive where I talk with my clients about, you know, where they're at in terms of saying no. And I help them make sure that they know how to set boundaries and to follow through. Because a lot of times where we are hesitant to set boundaries, but it's really getting them with that mindset shift to be okay with setting boundaries and then following through. So that's right now something I have 90 minutes intensives of setting boundaries.
Awesome. So people, do not wait. Let's jump into the, you know, the program that she is sharing, because this is something what is important that I really love, right? Because that's why we are here. We are discussing the exact point over here. So thank you so much once again. I'll be keeping the link to your website over here in the description so that people can find it and they can jump on, you know, connecting with you and becoming the part of your program, right? So thank you so much once again, dear guest. Thank you so much for inspiring the audience.
Thank you so much for having me.